The worst thing that is ever going to happen to the Democratic Party it is currently comprised is when Donald Trump leaves
Oh
office.
my God, I agree.
He is their platform.
The ability of DOGE to operate is a function of whether the government, and this includes the Congress, is willing to take our advice. We're not the dictators, we are the advisors. But thus far, four advisors, the DOGE team, to their credit, has made incredible progress.
Zach Abraham. Hello, my friend.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I told you I'm all jacked up on an energy drink. I would drink it in front of you, but it's from Starbucks and I'm not giving them a free ad. This is not for them.
And you had a great, when you were telling me that, you had a great line. You're all hopped up on Mountain Dew.
Oh, that's, yes. All I hopped mean, come up on Mountain that, Dew.
That's a Ricky Bobby reference if I've ever heard one.
Man, people used to drink Mountain Dew. Like I would drink a couple a day when I was a kid.
Oh, well, you loved it, right? So like I did because it was the only reason I loved it is because it was forbidden, right? Oh, so yeah. Like my parents would be like, no, that is more sugar than Coke. And I was like, well, then bring it on.
Yeah.
Right? Do you remember Jolt Cola? Remember that?
Yes, vaguely. Back in the day? And then Spurge? No. Splooge, but that's not it. Surge.
Well, yeah, Surge. Yeah. I remember Jolt Cola had that tagline. It was twice the sugar and all the caffeine. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, that just people are like, oh, that's awful. But when you're 8, 9, 10 years old, you're like, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
I need that in my life.
Wow. So, the things Mountain we used Dew. To put in our bodies. So anyway, track. So you see this Mexican ship that was visiting in New York and then it crashed into the Brooklyn Bridge as it was leaving?
Yeah.
According to Chuck Schumer, it's DOGE's fault.
Of course it is.
It's DOGE's fault that the Mexican ship crashed into the Brooklyn Bridge. This is from the New York Post. Schumer bizarrely claims DOGE may have been partly to blame for Mexican ship's deadly Brooklyn Bridge mishap. He said, quote, in a press release, we know there has been meddling by the Trump administration into U.S. CG staffing, and we need to know how this might have impacted the events of last night from a command, communication, and local coordination level. Okay, so he already knew prior to that, because it was known almost immediately, that they lost, they had a mechanical malfunction that caused them to veer off their course. So they couldn't control the steering of the ship. So you
which
can't,
is a DOGE problem, which naturally. Is clearly,
well, anything's yeah. Trump's fault. I mean, look, if the Coast Guard couldn't respond in a timely manner, but honestly, given the video and how shocking the video is, I mean, obviously any loss of life is horrible. I'm actually surprised that more people did not die from that accident. So it's just, you know, of course he's got to politicize it the day after it happens and maybe blame DOGE in some veiled way.
I knew that this was going to go off the rails the minute you said the word Chuck Schumer.
Yeah.
The worst thing that is ever going to happen to the Democratic Party it is currently comprised is when Donald Trump leaves office.
Oh, my God. I agree.
He is their platform. Yep. These people are so when you listen to these people, it has been so rich recently. I saw Eric Swalwell. Now, he put this tweet out 2 weeks ago, right? S&P is down 15% on the year. And coming off an all-time high after it was up 23% last year, right? And what is just a normal blip. And he puts out, he put out the perfect tweet to sum up why I can't support him or anybody that comes even close to having his beliefs or thoughts. He says, thanks to this effing idiot, your 401k is now a 201k. And you're looking at him going, it's a 15% pullback. But here's the other thing. So this is how ridiculous these people have gotten. This is also how historically illiterate they are. Okay, let me get this straight. A Democrat, a liberal, the defender of the working class, is pissed at Trump's administration because he's putting on tariffs that are hurting the stock market. Okay, this was the economic platform of the left in the 80s. That's like straight out of Noam Chomsky. And truthfully, here's the other crazy thing. Truthfully, had we listened, the Democrats were more right about that than the Republicans were at the time, right? There were more people in opposition to NAFTA on the left than there were on the right at the time. And they were right. They had it right. And they've abandoned those principles. And the reason they've abandoned those principles is they've been bought out by the same corporate interests that they used to, that did, and they said controlled the Republican Party. I listening to these, they can't even keep their own narrative straight.
That's what these last, I would say 5 years for sure, have taught me, is there's this long growing list of people whose credibility can never recover. It can never recover. And, you know, if people like Eric Swalwell came out and said, hey, you know, historically, this has been, you know, a policy pushed by liberals, but here's why we were wrong about it then, and therefore Trump is wrong about it today. But there's none of that sort of, and then on the ship thing, can you imagine if the ship thing had happened under Biden and Trump was blaming Biden for a Mexican ship that lost its steering? And while like there's still people clinging to life.
There'd be a Saturday Night Live skit about it.
Oh, 100%.
Relentlessly. And I mean, these people are supposed to be serious. And the only thing, and here's the thing. Look at the constituency. The only way that they keep these people on the rolls is, like I said, Donald Trump's the best thing that's ever, like, he is the platform. And these people are so, we all know it. We talk about Trump derangement syndrome, but it's a real thing, man. I mean, it's just, there are people out there, I've heard it recently, that still think the prison camps are coming.
I agree with you, though. That notion that Trump is the best thing that's ever happened to the Democratic Party. I mean, they get to blame him for everything.
Well, no, and think about it, right? Like, so if they had to run on their platform without Trump as their platform exists today, you might see a presidential election go off. Like, if you didn't have a Trump type figure, let's say you redid this election with, you know, J.D. Vance or something like that. I mean, they'd still try to throw those accusations at him. But if they had to run on their platform, which best I can tell is they want women running or they want men running over women and women in sports.
Check.
They want pedophiles to have free access to your kids via unisex bathrooms that have no age restrictions on it.
Check.
Right. They want to profit pharmaceutical companies billions of dollars while giving you a vaccine that is not FDA approved, contrary to what they all say. They want to lie to you about the origins of that vaccine. They want to call it a vaccine when it's not a vaccine. They might not get 30% of the vote.
Yeah. And that's what I look at in Washington is like all these things that have happened. Every major indicator in our state, in Washington state, of what the health of a state, you know, job growth going down, business growth going down, the homeless population up, drug overdoses up, all of these things. And they still put the same people back in office because they've been spun up that much about Donald Trump that they're willing to deal with real failure because they've been taught to fear the potential of what Donald Trump might do. And it's just crazy. Brooklyn Bridge. Give me a break. Chuck Schumer.
And it's so much of the older folks, you know, and I get that because, you know, you're in your 70s. Chances are much higher that you've listened to traditional media sources and all these kinds of things. And you just kind of stay in that echo chamber, you know, and I understand all that. Like, but you're just being fed abject nonsense.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's like you just want to look at people and go, look, man, I'm not trying to get you to buy into my philosophy. What I'm trying to get you to see are the facts. And the facts is you're getting lied to constantly. And it's not, this isn't like theoretical political lies, right? I were to put stuff right out in the open. And how do you trust that? And if you didn't have Donald Trump to run against, they wouldn't have anything.
Well, we'll see what they do because, you know, Donald already said the third term thing is a joke, thank God. But, you know, they'll just find a new person to say he's, you know, Trump 2.0. That's what if it's J.D. Vance, Trump 2.0, or he was, you know, Trump's right-hand guy. So they will never let go of Donald Trump. Until we die, they will not let go of Donald Trump. All right. So we had talked on the show a couple weeks ago about how Doge needs to start getting cases in prosecutors' hands and people need to be prosecuted for some of the fraud that's happened. So it seems like Doge has helped jumpstart some prosecutions, but not what you might think. So NPR's headline is Trump's DOJ focuses in on voter fraud with a murky assist from Doge. So the crux of the article, and this is fascinating because it's this long write-up, like way too long to even read the whole thing. I mean, I did it so you guys didn't have to. And it's saying that the DOJ is starting to go and prosecute cases for voter fraud from 2024 and other years within the statute of limitations. And it sounds like, reading between the lines, that maybe in its work looking at some of this fraud or misspending, that Doge stumbled upon people who shouldn't have voted who did, basically, and helped refer it. But what's funny about the article is, even in the headline where they're saying it has a murky assist from Doge, like NPR says in its own article, we don't really know what Doge's role is. They're not being clear, and we requested information, but we don't know how Doge assisted. So they do this long article about the federal government prosecuting people for voter fraud. And even though they know nothing about Doge's involvement, they make that the headline. Because they've got to, they're like, oh, let's tie Doge to this somehow. And suggest Doge is abusing its authority by finding instances of voter fraud.
You know, this gets to something that has been one of the most confusing and frustrating parts about this. Now, before I say it, I understand how, you know, Boy Scoutish this will sound, but I mean it earnestly. When you constantly have to inject your own narrative, right? When you constantly have to figure a way to put a spin on something, when you're constantly forced to manipulate things, when you're constantly forced not to report certain things because it doesn't fit, when you are asked to manipulate any news or data because it doesn't fit your narrative, why is the question never asked, perhaps I'm supporting the wrong narrative?
Yeah.
Because, you know, the funny thing about it, and I'm sure there are people listening to this that do not believe this about both you and I, but, and I know this about you to be true. The funny thing about it is they act as if, well, it's all just part of the game. And you look at them and go, no, we don't do that. There's a lot of people that don't do that. Yep. We'll tell it to you straight, even if it does conflict with our narrative. There have been many times where on my own radio show, I've had to come out and admit I was wrong about something, right? Because you don't have any credibility if you don't. But it's not even on the outside. I don't know how these people live with themselves. I literally don't. I don't understand how you can be advocating something. Maybe you're passionate about it, but you know that you're offering up manipulated and falsified information. And you sit there and go, hey, this is a really, really easy lesson, guys, from childhood. If you gotta lie, now look, there's sometimes when you're in office that you're forced to say nothing, right? But you're never forced to lie. If you gotta lie, maybe you're backing the wrong horse, right? Maybe you're backing the wrong cause. Because the funny thing about it, like I said, I think you and I are both outspoken about our beliefs. I'm never compelled to lie about it. I know you're not. You know, so it can be done. It's called intellectual integrity, right? I don't get how they live with themselves.
Yeah, an example, because I mean, you and I both voted for Trump, but I mean, there's been a few things he's done that I've been, you know, vehemently opposed to. And it was funny because I get these trolls on X and they're just obsessed with, they'll take something Trump did. What do you say about this, Brandy Cruz? Gonna say anything about your orange god now? And I'm like, actually, yeah, I don't like that. Like this whole rumor that they were gonna do a reality show based on people vying for American citizenship. I'm like, that's tacky. Please don't do that. There's all these people, oh, Brandy probably loves this. I'm like, no, actually, I don't love that very much. And you know what? That's pretty easy for me to say because I'm not married to the man. I don't have to pretend to like everything that he does. It's just wild. But you can see through NPR and why they need to lose any sort of taxpayer funds they have, that like they can't even be, so you have a legitimate story, right? DOJ is going after people for voter fraud, which is a crime, obviously. And they have to like shoehorn in this Doge angle into the headline because, oh, Doge bad, right? Which is already weird enough. But even when you're reading through it about these people who are being prosecuted, they have to just spin it. Like this one person, she's 22. She told the federal investigator she voted in the presidential election simply because she wanted to make a difference, because she wanted to support the country. So they place it as this, oh, it's just this innocent, you know, she just wanted to make a difference and support the country. What other crime do they sort of water down like that? You know, besides,
well,
right. They just,
it's who she voted for.
100%,
right?
Yeah.
had she voted for Trump, it would string her up. And this is what is so dangerous to me about the modern liberal movement right now. It is you have to be afraid of any movement that doesn't question its own moral intention.
Yep.
Right? Meaning, I think we all can identify this. I do it daily. You know, I call it my personal devotion time, right? In the mornings, making sure that I'm aligned with the things that I believe in, making sure that my priorities are correct, making sure I'm focused on the right things. These people, they have no, there's no moral alignment, right? It's what serves the political aims that I back is right. What doesn't is wrong. And you look at them and go, guys, that is a hallmark of dictatorial regimes. You are your biggest threat. You are the threat that you're calling the right. You are the threat that you're calling Donald Trump. You're it. Yeah. And I'm not saying he's perfect, but when you look at things, when it's all, like you said, orange man good, the reason they don't understand that either, the reason they think that you've got to back every, because they're in a cult. Right. They've got to back everything, yep. Right? It's like, it's the same idea of the guy, if you're looking for the thief on the street, find the guy with the best alarm system, right? Meaning what it's the person that's accusing all the time where you sit back and go, oh, that's interesting, right? The lady doth protest too much.
Yep.
And they're accusing us of that because that's what they do. They're in the echo chamber. They listen to every nonsensical piece of trash that they're told to, like there are 78 different genders, right? Like women can give birth. I mean, think of the idiocy that these people adopt and think, and then call you a bigot because you don't think that way.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Well, and it's not to say, I mean, there are people on the right who are totally hook, line and sinker. I call it the other form of TDS, like the Trump can do no wrong TDS.
Right.
Yep. So that totally happens too. But you know, whenever I get that, like, Brandy, are you going to condemn this? And it's like, well, yeah, I can say I don't agree with it. Can you acknowledge when Trump does something right? You know, because they can't. Like, no, I'll do it when he does something right. It's like, okay, so he's never done anything good. Got it. Rescuing hostages, nothing you can't muster a compliment for the guy. Got it.
I mean, look, I get why there's pushback against Trump. There's parts of his personality that bug me. Like you said, I've had plenty of issues with it. But just, I mean, you know, right down to he wants to get rid of abortion for everybody. And I'm like, it's Donald Trump, you guys. Like, what are you talking about? Like, my concerns about the guy coming into office were the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Literally the opposite of that, right? I mean, just look at his back. It's just, he is a 1980s Northeastern Democrat. That's what he is.
Yeah. Yeah. They've lost their minds. All right. Let's get to our Doge Miss of the Week. So we've talked about the idea of a Doge dividend before. You and I kind of weren't too fond of the idea that Doge would take whatever savings it got and split it up amongst the American people in the form of a refund check. So I guess I kind of understand the point MSNBC is making, although they're making it for a different reason. But so they have this opinion piece out, your Doge check is not in the mail and it's probably not coming. So I remember MSNBC like losing it over the idea of a Doge dividend. That is such a bad idea. Now, because it's probably not going to happen, they're like, oh, they're not giving you the check that they promised you, right? So, but the point of their article, I think, is well taken, that should Elon and Donald Trump, President Trump, have just stayed silent about the idea of a dividend check until it was an idea they vetted or committed to? Because, I mean, did it excite people that they could have got $5,000 and now it's probably not going to happen? So now they turn that around on the administration and be like, where's our money from Doge?
I mean, that's probably the tact I would have taken, but I don't think it's hard to say, because the other part of it is, for the sane, non-radicalized portion of the constituency here in this country, the flip side is that anything that garnered or engendered more interest in Doge, I think, is a net positive. And the reason why is I think that it has put into people's minds, and at least put it in the zeitgeist, to look at government spending in a different way and to really examine it and to really understand how ridiculous some of this is. Is it going to impact the mainstream media and those people, like the political opposite? No, but we all know that there is, like, we've learned this equivocally. And if you haven't learned it unequivocally, if you haven't learned it by now, you're not paying attention. There is no revelation that will change their minds. It does not matter what truth they encounter. You will not change these people's minds, right? You look at them, you know, look at the adherence to Fauci and the vax. You know, you still have people talking about Fauci as if he was canonized, right? The guy should be, the guy absolutely should be a felon. 100%. Not just for this, but for other stuff.
The Beagles. Done. The Beagles.
Oh, and the AIDS patients and all that kind of stuff. Lying in front of Congress. He perjured himself. I mean, that's the least of his concerns, but he perjured himself. And you, when these things come true in a nonpartisan way, they still. So I sit there and I look at it and I go, yeah, I see a real concern for extremism. I see a real concern for cult-like and authoritarian, you know, practices. And I certainly see fertile soil for those things to grow. It's just on the opposite side of the political spectrum than you think it is. All of these things are driven by ideological people that will not bend to practical logic and practical reality on the ground. That's the hallmark of these things, right? There is one side of the political aisle right now that is demonstrating all of those. The other side is not. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, it's just interesting to me that MSNBC is trying to, so its viewer base obviously is pretty far left. So they're trying to spin them up to be mad that they're not going to get a check from an entity that they hate being run by a person who they hate. So now they have to be mad that this entity they don't even want to exist isn't going to give them money that was never even promised to them to begin with. I mean,
Said was a bad idea.
Right, that they said was a bad idea. And maybe Trump and Elon shouldn't even have entertained it. But that's kind of how they are. They shoot from the hip. Elon's responding to people on X like, hey, that's a good idea. I'll run it by the president. He didn't say, we're going to do this for sure. So maybe they should have just kept it to themselves. I might be more worried about that if, like, Trump was up for re-election and he promised something and didn't deliver right before the election or whatever it is. But MSNBC will do anything to spin up its viewers, even if they have to... Even if they have to stretch a story to just fit whatever is going to piss people off, let's do it.
I think that's the intention going into it, right? I mean, I'm still sitting there watching Joe Biden get diagnosed with aggressive cancer that spread to his bones, and I am still, again, I'm old enough to remember Joe Scarborough looking at me and saying, "This is the best version of Biden I've ever seen."
Yep. Yep, and that'll never go away. The internet's forever.
No, we were laughing. We were laughing because I took a lot of flack, but I remember it was probably in, I don't know, June of July of the election year where I on our show and then in the office that day, I can't remember, but there was it was before the debate he had with Trump, and I saw him on TV, and I came out and was looking at all of our employees, and I was like, mark my words, guys, he's not going to be on the ticket come November. Right now, I didn't have access to any inside information. You're just listening to the guy talk.
Yeah.
And it shocks me how many people listen to the media's rendition of what they just saw as opposed to sitting there going, that guy's on his last leg, man. Right. You know what I mean?
Or how many people, like the Jake Tapper book, how many people believed Jake Tapper when he said, when he pushed back against Biden's mental acuity and now will run out and buy the book that Jake Tapper wrote about how people covered up for Biden? So like it is a cult mentality.
Well, and then you heard what that doctor said too. And look, I'm not trying to jump on it. You know, hey, I don't wish ill will for anybody. I hope Joe Biden gets healthy or gets the best treatment possible. I don't play that game.
Yeah.
I don't walk around hoping that any of our presidents get assassinated either. Unlike some of our co-countrymen.
Yep.
But yeah, the whole Biden thing, you know, how it's the best version of him. He's so sharp. He's so this, he's so that. I heard this doctor saying, look, there is no way that they did not, that he did not have this when he was in office.
Yeah.
And he said, when you understand the battery of tests that these guys undergo when they're president, he goes, there's no way that they did not know he had cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that from talking heads on both sides too. Just like from a medical perspective, whether it's a talking head on the right or left, it would be highly unusual to have that much of a medical team constantly checking in on your health and not know about this until it metastasizes to the bone, you know? So
yeah,
just wild.
The question I have though, is you're watching these revelations starting to really add up in a way that, you know, nobody can really push back against it. I do not know this at all. Does that call into question any of the decisions that he made in his final year in office? Because
call them into question, I mean, in a political way or in a legal way?
Legal.
Hmm. Like because pardons?
One of my employees brought up a really good point. And they're like, wait a second. If there's medical evidence that this guy was compromised and it was being covered up, doesn't that call into question some of the pardons he issued?
But I don't know what you could do about that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's one really piece of interesting aspect about this is I don't think it's a stretch to say you might not be able to call out a president's pardon, but it's starting to look like he's not the one that did them.
Yep. Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So if he didn't do them, which I don't think, look, I watched another one today where he was on MSNBC. They weren't quite done with the interview yet. And he just got up from the desk and walked out right in the middle of a live. And you're sitting there going, this guy wasn't architecting these parts. No. Come on. No. He didn't know what he had for lunch that day.
Well, that's why they say it was done with a stamp. It was an auto pen, not a stamp, an auto pen. So, all right. In other Doge adjacent news, I got to go to Texas on this one. So we've been complaining about Washington state taxes and the governor signing in a bunch of new taxes, including an increase or an expansion rather of the capital gains tax. Well, here is Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
Hi, this is Governor Greg Abbott. And I am about to sign a joint resolution that will constitutionally ban a capital gains tax in the state of Texas. Voters will vote on this to ensure that we're not going to have a capital gains tax in the state of Texas. The next tax law that I will sign will be a tax law to reduce your property taxes in Texas.
Are we going to have any Washingtonians left? Are any businesses going to be left here?
This is the craziest part about it. And I feel like it's probably like an internal immune defense response. The saving grace to liberals is that they don't bow to reality, right? They just keep pressing and they overplay their hands. Guys, if you wanted to create like your socialist dream or whatever, you have to do it and you need revenue. Okay. So if you want more money to fix things and you want more money to provide services, you need to take care of your tax base. What they just shoot themselves in the foot over and over. Guys, I know that you want to be a banana republic that can do whatever you want with total control. Problem is you have 49 other institutions that are more than happy to take those companies, those jobs, and that tax revenue. Okay, you're competing. So when you have a budget deficit, doing things that drives tax bill creators out of your state, not a good idea. Not a good idea. And I'm saying for your own purposes, if you want to pass the kind of legislation you want and you want to make your liberal utopia, you're going to need more tax dollars. Hate to break it to you.
Yeah, don't bite the hand that feeds you.
And aren't you all about the working class? Well, if you are, the less friendly you are to business, the more of that tax revenue you're going to have to extract from middle class.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you look at it a little bit differently? Why don't you look at your state more like a feedlot? Why don't you want to make it really attractive for businesses to come in and then nickel and dime them while they're here, right? That would be tactically sensible, right? It's just so bizarre to watch these people. We don't like business. You're like, well, business pays for the state.
Yep.
So which one do you want? because you're not going to get both.
Can't have all, like you said, can't have your boutique wish list, like your laser hair removal for transgender inmates, if you don't have any revenue coming in to pay for it. So, man, it's
stunning.
Something else. Not too late to sign up for your webinar that's happening Thursday.
No, it is not okay. Too late at all. May 22nd, Thursday. Yeah, we're going to go over several different things. A couple new things that we're going to talk about as well as tariffs and how that impacts your portfolio and the changes that need to be made and kind of show you how those changes have engendered us being up 8% with the markets red to flat on the year. But also going to talk about, you know, we've got a lot of clients that come in, you know, that work at Google, Microsoft, that have really big stock positions. We're trying to sit there and go how we can monetize that, take income on it for retirement without having to realize the cap gains. A bunch of different things that we do, option strategies that we can put on those big chunks of stock that will protect, you know, because one of the vulnerabilities, great, you got a big pile of Microsoft stock, but it makes up 50% of your portfolio. If Microsoft gets hit, we got a problem, right? Well, we've got ways that at very little to no cost, we can protect that Microsoft stock. So if it did take a dive, you'd be able to hold even without restricting your upside. So anyway, just going over several different things, again, that are different that we do because we're active managers that most other firms can't. So hopefully, like I said, even if people don't decide to become a client, they'll leave more educated.
Yeah, and so you can sign up for that. So it's this Thursday, 3:30 p.m., virtual. You can sign up for free, knowyourriskradio.com, knowyourriskradio.com. All right, Zach, still bullish on Doge?
100%. Keep it rolling, 100%. Baby.
100%. Love it. See you next week.
All right, thanks for having me.